back to Cofield and Company in the Finley Toyota Studios.
Brewing war in the studio. Chrissy, Cofield, Adam Hill. Adam trying to go after my guy, LeVar Ball. It's a weird deal. Whatever went down yesterday on First Take with LeVar's comments about, yeah, it's fine. You can change gears anytime. ESPN jumped on it, turned it into something creepy. By the way, LeVar Ball is 51 years old. His wife had a stroke. He's got three near adult boys. Can you imagine someone coming? Because the way ESPN put it in some of these stories was like, oh, we had a word with him. You had a word with a 51-year-old dad of three? Who had that word?
What word?
Here's my brass tacks comment. We've talked to Molly Caron before on this show. She's a little awkward.
Yeah.
So, if that was her reaction, that's her.
Yeah.
She just is.
That is.
I'm sorry. And I know that's harsh. We're awkward.
I'm awkward.
There are times, yes, we all are. There are times in conversation, if it had a camera on me, you'd be like, was he just offended? Like, we all get caught in those moments.
Sure.
You have to tiptoe around things that you say. You don't realize that you say that. I mean, it's the world that we live in. Everybody. But she is inserting herself in the show more. I'm sure that that's a network decision.
But here's the thing. On the exchange yesterday, I don't want to blame her because I don't know that she, as you pointed out multiple times, was cool with ESPN making it into a, hey, the poor lady got insulted. Because I don't know if she was insulted.
Well,
I don't know.
No, she was.
She made a statement?
Because at the very end of the show,
okay. They
were joking about something else, and Stephen A. was like, well, I'm going to go to HR about that. And she was like, if anybody's going to HR today, it's me. That was a clear reference.
That's awful.
She did say that the ESPN execs, quote, had her back.
Okay.
She has not heard from LeVar Ball personally, and that she thinks her husband, Jalen, would like for LeVar to apologize to her publicly. Those are the three things that she has said since this happened.
Okay.
But you do have to kind of, that's your company.
Yeah. Okay, I stand corrected. I didn't know she had taken such a strong stance on this.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And I think that's what led ESPN, because that was during the show.
Yeah.
I think that's what led ESPN to take a swift reaction. Like, she was clearly not down with it.
Should he apologize to Jalen Rose?
Absolutely not.
No, not if he didn't. If he meant it, if he was actually shooting his shot, probably.
His people came out and said, that's a normal statement that, yeah, you can change gears anytime.
Yeah.
He could be her father. I mean, I try to look at situations like, it's the Occam's razor. You know, the simplest answer reasoning is usually the case, and I think that's what happened here. He just really said a statement, and she could not remember her question after the fact,
right?
Because Stephen A. was like, whoa. Stephen A. had a personal beef before that, trying to say you didn't want anything to do with New Orleans, and so that is where it got out of control.
I also think it's convenient timing for ESPN to back one of its female personalities, because they are going to freaking smash Beadle.
Well,
they're already leaking out information to Andrew Marchand. You can tell he's one of the media guys, very talented. Media guy for the New York Post, I think. And, I mean, where else are they going to get this? Did you read the story? Headline, why Michelle Beadle's future at ESPN is in peril. Says Michelle Beadle's ESPN career is in peril mostly because of things no one sees on the air, according to sources. Now, are these coworkers or are they management? Beadle makes $5 million a year. Boy, that's a convenient way to start a story, right?
Sure.
Get the average reader. $5 million!
Which, by the way, seems low to me, but yes.
Beadle makes $5 million a year, but refuses to take care of responsibilities outside of hosting the network's premier NBA show, Countdown. Her failure to promote the program on outside venues, combined with her virtual no-show to the much-hyped morning show Get Up, has branded her a bad teammate. My God, did they just send a release? And put her in a position, or put her position in question. So they don't know what they're going to do with her. Sports by Brooks broke the story last week. They immediately denied the truth, and now I think they've come up with this organized effort to smear Beadle. I don't know if Michelle Beadle's a jackass. I don't know if Michelle Beadle is lazy. I don't know if she's an egomaniac. I don't know if she refuses, you know, to do other stuff. I still don't know exactly what was behind her meltdown on Get Up. We told you that show would suck. Just as a viewer, I don't know the people personally, but when you have two leads, it makes it hard. She's a strong lead. Mike Greenberg is a strong lead. It wasn't going to work. So, but I like the way this is described now, that she was a no-show.
Of course.
No, the show wasn't working. Yeah, the chemistry was terrible.
Yeah, you know where that stuff's all coming from, as you said. It's coming from the station. Now, I saw Michelle Beadle came out and said, I'm on the show next year. I don't know what everybody's talking about. So she's laying it down. So
oh, yeah. She's, now she's backing him in a corner. Yeah, okay. I'm making my $5 million, so you do what you want. Because apparently, I guess the other dudes who are on the show with her is Pearson Billups, so their contract's up. So they're going to be looking for a new mix. And, man, this is the way it works in radio and TV and your workplace, right? Anyone listening right now, you know, there's problems everywhere. There's the personality issues everywhere.
I don't know how much longer her deal is, but I'm sure she would like nothing more than for them to say, fine, you're off. And by the way, here's your $5 million a year to do nothing.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, again, coming to the aid of Molly Karam doesn't exactly wipe out their history with women with uneven disciplinary in the past. We've talked about that. I don't know where Katie Nolan is right now. Are they just going to bury every talented woman on ESPN Plus? Is that the plan?
Apparently so.
Jemele Hill is another one.
Yep.
I just completely...
Yep. Jemele Hill got penalized, disciplined for a Nazi comment. Lou Holtz did not. I mean, I can give you the laundry list.
Didn't Dana Jacobson get in trouble for her roast joke?
Yep.
Which, by the way, again, a roast joke. The goal of a roast is to be as offensive as possible, and she got disciplined for it. That's insane.
Yikes.
Chrissy, it's quite the world you live in. Good luck, young lady.
Yeah, this makes me nervous now.
Women in sports.
Going forward, I feel like I'm going to be more awkward because of this.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny. I'm sure when people hear this, when I'm ranting about Molly and they think I'm sexist somehow, I'm not. I'm telling you what the true story is behind the scenes. It's very difficult for women in sports broadcasting. And, you know, the atmosphere does suck. And you get stuff like this. You know, clearly some people are leaking stuff about Beadle to take her down. And it's crap.
Yeah. And again, this is where, like, when you see stories like this, you're doing it for people, but analyze where it's coming from. Because usually, like, when you hear anonymous sources, it's not made up. It's coming from somewhere. It's somebody that has the ability to speak and the authority to speak on something, but that they don't want to put their name on it, or it would endanger their job to put their name on it. In this case, this is just a PR hit of, hey, we're going to feed this information to somebody to get it out there. That's pretty clearly what's happening in this case, but it's not made up. Somebody is telling him this. Somebody at ESPN is telling him this.
The Royalty Hour is on the way. John Von Tobel is in. I was expecting tacos. I don't see tacos.
More of Cofield and Company is on the way, live in the Finley Toyota Studios. Presented by Battle Born Injury Lawyers, it's the Vegas Royalty Hour. Here's Steve Cofield, the king of Las Vegas sports talk. And the man with a park and a school named after him, John Von Tobel.
JVT is here. Once a week, he begs and pleads to come back to where it all started. He misses it. He loves it. He's not fulfilled, but that's a story for another day. Adam Hill is here as well, not royalty. Chrissy is royalty, so she should be in the open at some point. We'll work on that in a couple of weeks. She'll be in the royalty open, I'm thinking, a couple weeks from now. So, there is so much to get to with you. First of all, we try not to do too much gambling with you, but you have a great list that we're going to get to in about a half an hour on draft props. I'm also seeing Rookie of the Year is out. These are unbelievable odds. On NBA Rookie of the Year, so that's coming up in about 20 minutes. But I totally expected tacos. Now, I will admit, I was lazy and not picking up the tacos myself, and I was double lazy and not even reading the story. Free tacos were available when and why? Because this is going to sound weird, right? NBA Finals.
Yeah. 2 to 6 p.m., from what I understand. Steal a hoe or steal a road game, steal a taco, kind of like World Series, you know, steal a base.
I actually like steal a hoe.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's so I was going to say
I get two tacos if I steal a hoe.
I was going to say home game, but
if you steal a road game.
Yes, you steal a taco.
And who got the first free tacos?
Canada, I believe.
Well, but the team that came through.
Oh, it was Golden State.
Was Golden State. Yeah, but so you're thinking,
for
like,
game
wait.
Two.
You're thinking, wait, there was an upset.
Oh, yeah.
Right? The Golden State Warriors came through with they stole something. It's just weird, right? Because they're such a dominant, you know, they've been the team.
But they were an underdog in that game.
I understand.
Mm. Yeah. But not that it doesn't matter. You could have been a 20-point favorite. You still would have stole a road game.
It was also a great promotion considering the road team, I think, won like 4 straight in the series.
Yeah.
So you stole taco after taco after taco.
Are they only doing one game, or are they honoring
only
all four?
One?
Oh, come on.
But I mean, the loophole obviously every single time with these is just multiple Taco Bells. They can't track you. So if you want more than one free taco,
yeah, he's saying, you know, we're live on local radio right now. You're being tracked.
Oh, well, I mean, I don't know if there's any T-Bell officials.
I mean, I think there's within like, what, a mile of here, there's probably three at least.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You can make that happen.
No one goes and gets one taco, right?
Well, if you're going to do it this way.
Are you talking about like
go
free?
To that one?
One free taco.
Or are
you
just talking about a general visit?
That's all you get on the visit?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that's, I mean, generally when you go to a fast food place, you always get like that extra thing with, right? Like you get sandwich and like smaller sandwich or burrito and smaller burrito or something.
How,
like that.
How many, what percentage of people just go and get the one taco? I've always found this fascinating because I've never really worked at a restaurant, worked at a bakery, served soup, but you know, there weren't sure. coupons there. But I always wonder what real dirtbags do with coupons. Like how close they stick to whatever the exact deal is and will not spend beyond.
Well, we talk about this all the time with the donut place and the shutouts. And we know people that even
this is the worst.
They're a very generous. That's a very generous giveaway.
It's unbelievable. And it's going to end. You guys all ruined it.
Of course they did.
They're not going to keep doing it.
All you people
you
out
greedy
there.
Greedy pigs.
That just go pick up your free donuts and don't buy anything else.
Buy a drink.
Oh, yeah, that's the necessity. Like, out of just common courtesy. You don't just grab the free thing and leave. You got to buy something.
And tip also.
No one tips.
Oh, see, that's the worst.
They just grab the donuts, no tip.
We do BOGOs at Starbucks. Okay. I'll get one free. And those people were the worst. Because they would come in, they would just destroy you, pillage you, take everything possible for free, and then not leave a red cent.
Well, and they also, I mean, I've seen, because you worked there, but I sit there enough to like see the different people.
Adam sees everything.
And like everyone tries, if there's any kind of promotion like that, they'll be like, all right, I'll take a small coffee, I'll pay for that, and then give me the giant Frappuccino that's like $7
extra caramel
as the free one. And like, no, it's not how it works.
And then you get yelled at. Because it's like the cheaper one is free. That's how it always works. And then they scream at you, I want the expensive one to be free. Like, no, that's not how we make money here.
You should have stuck with it.
I've made more money.
Sounds like a lot of fun. Yeah. Weren't you part of the awful era of the cookie straw, too?
Yes. Well, I was technically, and we did it for like a week, but then we stopped because we were technically that casino employee and not Starbucks.
Mm.
We
were, but you said the cookie straw pilfering was just out of control.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just in general, the pilfering. I mean, this is going to be very ageist. Old people and the Sweet and Lows.
They steal everything.
Can we relax?
Yep.
Like, I caught a man one time with two handfuls of Sweet and Lows, and I go, excuse me. And he goes, it just freezes.
No
sticks
one ever,
both
no
in
one
his
ever
pockets and runs off.
No one ever calls old people on this stuff.
But who needs that many artificial sweeteners?
Kids these days. No, it's you. It's you. You're robbing us blind.
They take a lot of straws, napkins.
I have no idea what you're doing with stir sticks.
Yeah.
I don't know why you need those.
Well, it's at home. You make your coffee at home.
I guess.
Yeah.
Building things.
It makes sense. Batteries, I think they take too.
How do you take batteries? Those are expensive.
They're for the store. Because you could use the. It's a Seinfeld thing. You could use the I'm an old man card. Like, what am I going to do?
I've never seen an episode of Seinfeld.
Flip the page to day three of the Lakers build. Okay, first of all, this is something that Candy, who was in yesterday, Adam Candy, and I got into. What do you guys make of the insistence that this deal is consummated by July 6th instead of July 30th? And this is on the part of the Pelicans. And because of that, the max player number the Lakers have goes down by $9 million.
Yeah, I mean, if you're the Pelicans, why would you agree to do that? It also affects their cap number, if I'm not mistaken. So, like, they lose money and the Lakers gain money. If I'm New Orleans, why in the world would I help you out? Like, I want this deal done as soon
as I can. I still
feel
like the Lakers had the leverage in this because I don't believe that the Knicks were ever going to come close to this deal.
Mm-hmm.
So, to me, the Lakers could have held out, but I guess Griffin could just stick it to the Lakers. But he'd be sticking it to himself by getting less in terms of assets.
I mean, I personally thought that they did have leverage to a certain extent, but I think the weird thing that worked in New Orleans' favor was Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson getting injured. Because then if you're the Lakers, you're like, holy crap, our window's open. All right, we better get this done because now, guess what? The West is wide open. These two probably aren't going to play even if they return next season. Like, our time is now if we can get this done. And I thought that oddly helped out New Orleans, which is why they got much more, I think, this time around.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that was the situation. But again, I don't know what bigger deal could have come along if the Lakers were like, you know what, we'll do this deal. We'll give you all this, but it's going to be July 30.
Right. We're going to wait.
Right.
Or go to the Knicks and get four pieces or three instead of six. Like, we're giving you the world. Wait.
Right. Right. If you want this deal, which is very, very good for you, and listen, I think it's a good deal for both teams, but if you want this deal that's very, very good for you, you're going to do it 3 weeks later and do it on our terms so we can actually build something else above and beyond this, and it might impact you a little bit, but look at all the pieces you're getting.
Does anyone in the room think that the Lakers should make a gigantic pitch for a third big-name player and spend all of that $23 million on that third player? Or are they better off just going with a big two and then lots of pieces?
Yeah, I think it's an absolute no on the third star. Like, I don't even know why that's an idea.
Well, because it depends on the guy. What if it's Kawhi?
It's not going to be Kawhi.
Okay, but if it is, then you do go after that big player. If you can get a legitimate star, if it's Klay Thompson, I would do it too. Like, because Klay Thompson will be back for the playoffs next year,
okay,
and you're going to make the playoffs, I would do that. If it's Kemba Walker, no. And if it's Kyrie Irving, absolutely not, no. But if it's the right third superstar, then absolutely I would do that. But I don't think you should force it.
Yeah, and to me, look, like with Woj had the report yesterday that he's not even sure if the Lakers are going to get a meeting with Kawhi, right? So it looks like the Lakers are out of the picture with Kawhi. And I can get the thinking that if it's the right superstar, go ahead and try it. But I think you need depth. Like, look at this team. Are you gonna rely on Caruso to, like, rekindle the magic of the last 15 games?
Yes, you are.
Right?
Like, that guy's awesome. Like, Summer League superstar.
Yeah. And he shot like 65% over a stretch of like eight games at the end of the regular season.
I think Adam's right. I think he's ready.
Well, I've been banging the Caruso drum at Summer League for the last like 3 years. He finally fulfilled the promise, so I'm happy for it.
How deflating will it be if they make him play in the Summer League again?
I would.
Like, bro, I'm one of the only players you have. I can't play in the Summer League.
Get the confidence.
I'm your starting shooting guard. This is ridiculous.
He is a star in Summer League. Keep it going. Build that confidence.
But I also think if you look at the names that they can get if they divvy up that money, like Patrick Beverley only made $5 million last year. J.J. Redick, like the projected salary that he's going to garner is about $10 million. Like, that's two really good backcourt pieces that you can add on the cheap and then add other pieces around it. So I really think it's like it's a non-starter. I think it's cut that up and get as many guys as possible.
Well, the problem is they're probably going to just take Chris Paul.
Oh, that would
because
how can they do that?
Well, they could just pay $18 billion in luxury tax if they want to, but that's the kind of move that seems like the Lakers would do.
Yeah, I mean that is the way they can get a high dollar guy and blow past the cap even further.
And that would be cheap because, I mean, you're not paying a lot in terms of like a second round pick or something. That's a huge contract. You'd be doing Houston a favor.
I think they would do it for like the. They would do it for, like, a Whataburger franchise or something. Like, just, please take him from us.
Well, what do you think? How would it work? I'm not talking about the deal itself. How would that work?
Chris Paul?
Yeah.
I don't know. He looked really slow this year. Yeah, I think there's a big reason why. Like, his numbers dropped astronomically, especially because they run so much ISO stuff. And maybe he'd be better in an actual system where they're running pick and rolls and other stuff off the ball where it's actually plays instead of just, hey, let's see if you can beat your dude. But
I certainly wouldn't want him to be in the mix. But
yeah.
I also don't know how a trade would be done because there's no chance of making any sort of comparable salary move. Like, are you allowed to just give a guy away? Because I don't think you can. But that's what they would have to do. They can't trade anything back. They certainly can't trade $40 million in salary back. So I don't know how they would even make it work. I don't know how any team's going to make it work. Yeah. I think the Rockets are stuck with him.
That's why I'm amazed by that. Like, I don't know what you're supposed to do with him because I know the demand that he wants to get out, but if you're Houston, you buried yourself. Like, the guy that's actually somewhat movable is James Harden. It's not him. Like,
were you listening at the beginning? It's exactly what I said.
Oh, really? Yeah, it's good.
You have to get rid of Harden.
Do we have details on how this happened? Because I don't remember reading anything last year to say, like, Morey didn't want him or it was a Tillman Fertitta push. How did it actually get done? Because I wonder if it was Morey's decision, the GM, to freaking pay him 38, 40, 42, and 44 million, isn't that a fireable offense now?
I think so.
The guy's a good executive, but I mean, this is the worst albatross around the neck you could ever have.
I would agree with that, actually. Actually, look at the team they were throwing out there this year, too. It is amazing how good they really were. If you look, there was a time where they're playing the Warriors. You had Iman Shumpert, Gerald Green, Eric Gordon. Like, that was three of their starting five out there. right? Like, it was amazing that they got as far as they did with that roster.
Isn't that better than the rest of the Lakers roster?
Right now, yeah. Yes. Other than Caruso. I don't know how it got, but I'm with you. Like, I don't know who was the push behind it. And just reading some quotes and seeing how Tillman Fertitta operates, I mean, he could have gone kind of fanboy and just been like, hey, sign him. He was awesome last year. Give him whatever he wants.
That's Chris Paul.
Yeah. Sorry. I mean, yeah. Tillman Fertitta is the guy that went on the jump during the postseason and said there is no better defender than James Harden in the NBA. So,
yeah,
that's a stretch.
Not strong. If you were to take a wild guess at the Lakers' win total for the season, it's hard because they don't have a whole roster yet. What would you put it at?
Well, there's one place that has their win total up already.
It really?
PointsBet New Jersey has win totals for every team.
Oh, no.
They're 53 and a half.
Oh, boy. I was going to say 48 and a half.
That was last year, yeah. Yeah, 53 and a half.
At 53 and a half, do you bet it now or you have to wait to see if they have a – well, actually, you're not in favor of a big three. So I was going to say, well, I mean, if they get a big acquisition, are you not going to like it? I mean, if Adam, I don't see how that happens, though. How they get Kemba Walker, Kawhi Leonard, Jimmy Butler, or Kyrie Irving for $23 million?
Yeah, I mean,
like all of them are leaving some money on the table, if not like upwards of $8 to $10 million.
Well, hopefully it's not Kawhi. But really, there's not a salary cap in the NBA, right? I mean, there's really not.
But yeah, you pay the luxury tax, you pay the repeater tax too if you're in it. I think it's for 3 years or something like that, or 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, they can spend it if they want to.
So, what would you bet right now? 53.5 over under.
Well, I would certainly take the under because one of the things you're going to see next year is a whole lot more resting. Yep. And especially from that team, if they've got Davis and LeBron and that's really all they've got, they're going to rest those guys a lot. They're just going to get into the playoffs, and that's all they're going
to
care
but
about.
But would you bet it now? I'd wait.
You're going to go higher?
To me, I'd wait, yeah. I'd wait. Yeah.
If they sign nobody else, it'll probably go lower.
I don't think it'll go much lower.
I think it also depends on the market, right? Like out here? Depending on what they post, like I would wait, considering that there's so many Los Angeles Lakers fans.
You think it'll be posted high?
I think it'll be posted around the same, but I'm saying like public bettors can come in and just bet Lakers over. I mean, they're taking bets at 3-1 and 350.
I'm not sure though. Once I don't know, the number went up last year, went down initially.
Yeah, but I think that's also they weren't in the place that they were now, okay. Right? Like two superstars together, Anthony Davis, arguably top five player, yada yada. We know the whole spiel.
But we're all on the same thought process here, right? Bet under wins.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't know what's going to happen to the postseason, but they're not playing for a number one seed, and
no. You're
going to hear load management
Yep. All
the freaking time. You have to. There's no way LeBron can't play more than 65 games, and Davis is so off injured, you probably max him at 65 as well.
Well, and after what Toronto just did with Kawhi,
yep.
He didn't play. He played 60 games this year. They handled him beautifully. And guess what? He was fresh as hell for the playoffs, and he carried that team through 3.5 rounds.
This is Adam's dream.
Yeah.
Because people will be pissing and moaning all over the country, and especially at Staples when LeBron and Davis, you know, say they play together like 40 of the 82 games, 50 of the 82 games.
They're going to sit them on the road.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I imagine that's what they're going to do. Long road trip, play half of them.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I imagine they'll sit them both.
So you got all these stops. Because you know what happens in these cities that are, you know, have 25, 30 win teams. Are like, hey, LeBron's coming. Yep. Lakers, LeBron and AD. No.
No, not tonight.
Don't sell tickets based
sorry,
on that.
Not tonight.
Memphis.
Well, that's a good question tomorrow for Justin. Our legal insider will be in tomorrow. Like, does there have to be truth in advertising? Like, if it's well publicized that there's going to be load management, can the crappy teams around the NBA post not only that this big star team is coming to town, but actually charge more? They can try to charge premium tickets, and then you're like, you know, premium prices on the tickets, and then they come to town, they're not playing.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a whole other topic, right? And then it's sports gambling and how you have your lineups. Like, do you start going the Major League Baseball route where you have to send them through the commissioner's office first at a certain amount of time, like they do with their lineups, and then have it posted to the media, like 2 hours
man.
Out or whatever?
Well, if they're going to be getting integrity fees, they're going to have to.
Oh, I completely agree.
I can't even tackle that subject.
Right? It's
that,
like, it's
I
super
mean, it's
deep.
So, it's so freaking annoying what they're going to have to do moving forward. All right, JVT sticking around through the Big Five. Up next, we got a horrific drinking story, and we'll get to those props and great bets. We're talking draft props and great bets on the NBA season that are being posted all over Las Vegas.
Battle-Born Injury Lawyers brings you the Vegas Royalty Hour. Have a workman's compensation issue? Call Justin and Matt now at 570-9000.
I told you before, a king is born. I told you before, a king is born.
back to the Vegas Royalty Hour, presented by Battle Born Injury Lawyers.
JVT is here, VSiN, SiriusXM 204, Adam Hill in studio in spirit. He'll be back with us in a couple minutes. Chrissy's here as well. We still have hockey stories?
Yeah.
We still have hockey celebration stories. I know we have more Kawhi celebration stories coming up later on. What'd you say?
So apparently, so the Blues period, or excuse me, a parade was on Saturday, I believe, and Zach Sanford was in one of the cars. 24-year-old forward, Zach Sanford, I should specify, and a video was released, caught him sitting on the backseat of the car, not holding his liquor very well, throws up all over himself and the car. Like, a lot.
That's not the way to celebrate a championship. Actually, maybe it is.
I think it is.
Maybe it is the right way.
Which I'm really surprised. To be honest with you, I'm really surprised we didn't see any of these pictures for the Washington Capitals last year.
Oh,
I thought they were drunk all summer long.
Did you see them at the Nationals game last year?
Oh, yeah.
It was one of the greatest. It was like 2 months after they won.
What happened?
In the fountain?
They were so drunk at the Nationals game that they were like, people kept pointing up and trying to get them to do like, you know, shotgun beers and do shots and everything else. And they're shirts off at the game. And it's like 2 months after the finals were over. They were still partying every day. It was insane. And then, yeah, Ovechkin, dipping Ovechkin in fountains. And like, it was insane.
Yeah. So, like, it is very awful to watch a, you know, young star in the NHL throw up all over himself. My first thought was, when have I ever done this?
Public yakking?
Yeah. Now, public yakking due to intoxication. Because I've publicly yacked because of sickness.
No, because of drinking.
Okay, yeah.
Because of drinking, what's been your worst public display?
It was actually in a car. I was with a friend, and I was actually a bunch of friends, and we were drinking, and I was sitting, we were parked outside of the house, but we were sitting in the car, and I was in the back seat, and it was just one of those where I'm just sitting there, you know, kind of quiet, you know, just hits you like that, and I just look down and go, and just, it wasn't as much, but it was just like a nice little stream, luckily, all over my shirt, all over my pants, not in the car.
Oh, that's nice.
You're changed in my car.
That's very nice of you.
Lucky enough.
It's good.
Yeah. I feel like Adam's been on the wrong side of the vomiting, like he's been around vomiters.
Yeah.
Because you're often the designated driver.
True. There's been some messes. But I've been pretty lucky with people just falling asleep.
Well, you've had issues with people getting lost where they didn't know where they lived.
The bigger ones have been, because as you said, you know, I do often serve as a designated driver for people. Even if I'm not around, I'm like, call me, I'll come get you. And I've had people that can't remember.
Noted.
Can't remember their code.
Yeah.
Like their code to get in their complex. That's brutal. You're just sitting there like, yeah, I'm actually just giving them a ride home. Like, well, what's the code? Like, they don't know it.
I had that happen. One of the SL's friends couldn't remember the code and could barely remember where her condo was. Funny enough, you know what? She came over to the house months later, and it was like our first blowout party, and we just had a new toilet put in, and she freaking broke the seat.
What?
I'm like, how many times are you going to get me on this? Yeah, the seat's cracked still. I still haven't replaced it.
Like from like aggressive sitting?
She, you know what happens? The new toilets have those kind of crappy super plastic, thin plastic,
yeah.
And she decided to sit with the top down, and you know, not her top down. Although I heard, you know what, actually when they went in to save her, she was like completely naked in there.
Wait, what?
So she broke the toilet. I don't know. Some people just strip down to go to the bathroom.
I feel like most...
You've seen it. You go into a public restroom, a men's room, and like guys, pants are around his ankles. You're like, dude.
Oh, that's...
It's the worst. Bare ass at a urinal.
The worst is the guy that leans up on the urinal like that, and it's like, like leaning into it. Can't do that.
Dude, call those people out?
I there was one time at the South Point where I was like, all right...
Well, what's worse, when you go in and someone's in the stall and they're like the glorious farter,
yeah.
just blowing up the bathroom, and they're like,
the moist fart.
You're like, what's going on?
I feel like that's not as bad because you don't actually see them. Like, it's just the disturbing sound.
I heard a guy the other day. I heard a guy the other day, and it was just, man, I was like, bro.
I'm saying guys standing at the urinal with pants around the ankles is worse.
It's pretty bad.
That's far worse.
Yeah. And you certainly don't want it to be the, we don't have them here. Do we have any, is there any troughs here? The trowels? Any of the pee trowels anywhere?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Old stadium. Yeah. Old stadiums.
Big trough.
Chrissy's micless right now, but it's the worst. It's just a giant trough where Dudes are all standing next to each other, peeing into it.
No dividers, yeah, nothing.
It's just gross. Just totally gross.
Splash zone.
Yeah. What's the you personally have never had a vomiting situation?
Oh, sure.
Where? Like, what's the most public?
A car, I think. Well,
didn't you vomit on New Year's Eve when you were
in the bathroom, though?
I think you got banned from a property, didn't you?
Well, I was stumbling around. This was a long time
ago. The tsunami? These are the tsunami days.
Oh. It was a long time ago.
It was New Year's Eve. It's the middle of the strip, and you know, I wasn't walking around with him. I was kind of planted where I was, but everyone around him was like, he is just clearing space. Like, he's just mowing people down.
Well, that was,
and that's why they're like, it's a tsunami.
No, they asked me to.
Oh, is that right? You had to lead the way?
It was New Year's Eve, and it was one of those cases of everyone was so packed in, like, on the strip.
Yeah.
And we were all drinking the whole day, obviously. Everybody was drunk, and they were like, we can't get out of here. And we're, you know, as you know that I'm not aggressive in any way. Like, even in a crowd, I'll be like, okay, I'll let everybody else go and, like, move. And they're like, dude, you have to get us out of here.
You are the battering ram.
Like, go back to your, like, left tackle days at Silverado and, like, let's
minus
go.
The rec specs, because you can see now. You have glasses.
That's true. And so, I just basically, like, put the shoulder down and just, like, mowed forward and, like, we're getting out of here.
The road grader.
Yeah. People are holding onto your shirt and walking behind you.
Yeah, we got out of there.
But, like, hurled, like, projectile on the floor somewhere?
I think it was in the bathroom.
Okay.
At Caesars.
Yeah, I had a New Year's night in New York City where it was, like, the end of the night, and I was standing next to stairs, and the girlfriend at the time was somewhere else, and I was just, like, right next to stairs. Just completely disgusting. That's but insane. I am not a vomiter. I don't think I've yacked from drinking in, clearly, as you know, it probably involved a mudslide. That was, I think, the last time.
That's
a lot of sugar.
Downtown gets you.
Yeah. It hasn't gotten me recently, and now the tradition's over. Yeah. Derek Stevens bought everything up, so unless someone, like, starts, I don't know, is there a new shaky drink place down there?
There's got to be.
I just want Dollar Rolling Rocks again. Those are solid.
Oh, God.
Mermaids.
That's a long shot. That was one of the places with Mermaids. But what was the other one? La Bayou?
Yeah, La Bayou.
Across the way. You get the freaking mudslide, and Adam knows, like, it was at least two or three times. I'm like, I'm going to walk home. Like, I don't live anywhere near downtown. I'm like, see ya.
At one time you lived in Henderson, and you're like, I'm walking home. Like, no, you're not. Like, what are you talking about?
I'm not much of a puker during the act of drinking. I'm more of next day dry heaving for like 2 or 3 hours until I drink enough water.
Yeah, never.
Pass it
off. Never happens now. I'm a machine. Yeah.
I will every once in a while. It happened to me twice where I'll get like the little in my mouth and just in the trash can, and then
oh God,
this is a disgusting.
And you were saying this hockey player's terrible?
Yeah, because I didn't throw up in front of everybody. And there's also the question of going back to said hockey player. It was a lot, and it was really white, and a lot of people were asking, like, what did he consume? Like, was it a lot of white Russians? Like, what was it? It was like a really thick, white, viscousy, frothy. Frothy's a good one.
Frothy vomit. Dinner's poorly, coming up, folks.
Poorly poured draft beer, probably.
I mean, that could be it.
I'm thinking white Russians.
I'm thinking that, too.
Yeah. People get crazy.
Listen, nobody lived it up more than David Perron after this title. I don't know how many videos you guys saw of him, former Golden Knight who lost last year. There's good video of him at some nightclub in St. Louis, which I didn't even know there was nightclubs in St. Louis. Good job for them. But he's, like, on some table just, like, dancing shirtless in a nightclub, and people just keep tossing him beers, and he's just pounding everyone he grabs, he just pounds it. He was absolutely living his best life there.
Was he a happy guy here? I thought he was kind of surly.
No, he's like, not a over-the-top, like, you know, excited guy.
Okay.
He's more of a, you know, keep his emotions in.
Unless he wins.
But then he wins, and it's time. It's go time.
It's new DP at that point. All right, NBA draft props coming in just a couple of minutes. Big Five, we'll get back to what's going on with the Lakers and also revisit the explosive news that Chris Paul, I don't think he said it officially, but it looks like the Rockets have to do something to break up Chris Paul and James Harden.
The Vegas Royalty Hour is presented by Battle Born Injury Lawyers. Get in a rideshare accident recently? Trust Justin and Matt to handle everything. Call now, 570-9000.
I'm going to kill your bookmaker. I'm going to rip his throat out. I will step on his throat until the man chokes. Let me tell you how. Winners, 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 winners. Free, 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 free.
I like what I'm seeing. I like what I'm seeing around Las Vegas. Bookmakers getting more aggressive. I've got the pressing news in less than five.
Okay.
About certain prop bets that were turned down. But around Las Vegas, one, Adam, you did not get to chime in on this one. I want John's reaction. JVT's in, Cofield, Chrissy, Adam. West Coast team, check that, California team will win the NBA title.
That is a tough one.
I think you got to bet the no, right?
No is?
Minus 210 at last look.
Yes, plus 180.
Well, I'll take minus 210.
Are we counting correctly? Just four teams?
Yeah, right? Sacramento, Golden State, and the two Los Angeles clubs?
What's LA, LA, and Golden State?
Well, and Sacramento is involved.
Sure, I guess. I don't think they're part of the bet, but yeah, sure. If they come through and win the title, then sure.
Well, I mean, technically there. So one leg's down. So now you just need three teams to not win.
True.
The title next year.
Yeah. I mean, I would bet the no.
Yeah.
For sure.
Because the Lakers are clearly overvalued at this point. You talk to anybody, they're really not 3-1 favorites. It's just because of the liability that the Caesars already has and they're going to face once the season starts. And the Clippers, let's face it, don't have Kawhi Leonard yet. And who knows what happens there. But I think all these teams are being overvalued at this point. I'll take minus 210.
What have I been asking for? Not that I have a lot of money, but...
The nose.
Yep. They're coming.
Yeah.
Circa.
Yeah.
He's doing it. Derek Stevens. Riverboat Gambler.
Two-way futures.
Yep.
And those are really smart, and I like those a lot. But
they're brilliant. They have them on college football. So you're looking at Alabama and Clemson. No. Mm-hmm. You know, if they're... Whatever, 2.5-1, 3-1 to win the national title. Then you're looking at 350, minus 350, minus 400. No. Lakers right now are, last I saw, plus 325 to win the title, minus 450. No.
Yeah.
I think they're going to get beat up by pros if they take big money. I don't know what the limits are.
Yeah.
But I love the attitude.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm sure there will be people. I know. A lot of people don't like tying up their money for that long, and that's why they might not get crushed too badly on it, but I'm sure there'll be a lot of pros that take their shots, and they'll take whatever they can to balance out the yes and probably try to be in a position where the no will be a winner for them at the books because that's the position they'd rather have. So, you know, we'll see how they do it, and we'll see how it does for Circa. It's a big test because, you know, bettors have been wanting this for a long time. Will people play it? Will they get the action? And will it work out for them? And then if it does, I'm sure other people will follow suit down the road.
Yeah, and usually, like, I know some, like, recreational bettors will probably go with, like, the humongous prices on the teams that they don't think have a shot or whatever. But really, the value is betting against these teams that are being overvalued. And they have, like, the two-way market in Major League Baseball. Like, I wanted to see how short that price is going to be on the no for the Dodgers, right? And because everybody fell in love with the Dodgers for a really long time, and the Braves have kind of come along in the National League. But I think those are the spots that you kind of pick and choose. When teams get off the hot starts and the value goes out the door in terms of the yes,
mm-hmm.
and you can bet the no.
Props are up. Caesars putting these up for the NBA draft. Gonzaga player to be drafted first. Hachimura, the favorite at minus 300 over Brandon Clark.
Ooh. That's actually moved, too. That's now 240, minus 240.
So a lot of betting on Brandon Clark.
Yeah. Huh? I kind of want to bet Brandon Clark.
I mean, I think Hachimura is definitely going to be it, but again, that's a huge price to try to lay. So I think you're only betting Clark or nothing here.
I mean, it depends on right like value and what you set your price at. Like if you think Hachimura is a guaranteed lock to go first, then minus 240 is not that bad. Minus 300. But I mean, just in this is all draft reading the tea leaves. Everything that I have read, like Clark has seemed to be rising quite a bit in terms of draft boards, like top 10.
I guaranteed on Japanese television, John, that Hachimura would be a top five pick.
Did you really?
Yes.
He's a big hit in Japan.
This is way back in March.
Okay.
Actually, February.
I love props like this one. Big college stars oftentimes, especially when they're 6'2 and under, you'll get a lot of the college writers who are like, of course, first round pick. Vitale leading the way. You know, when Carson Edwards doesn't go, the Purdue kid, in the first round, Dick Vitale will flip out. You know, can't believe everyone passed on him. Carson Edwards, no. Purdue player, first round, is minus 160.
He's also a little bit older, I think. I'm trying to look up the age. But I think he's older, which will help him fall. I think the size doesn't help.
Which will help him fall. 21.
Yeah, he's 21.
Mm-hmm.
he is. He's an old man.
He's a junior, right?
It's so crazy,
he's an old man.
I know.
Yeah.
21. He's already reached his potential. Can't grow from here.
Yeah, well, literally can't grow. He's
as a player.
Too short.
As a player.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't think that helps. And having a lot of tape on a guy doesn't help because he's been in college for a few years. Those things don't help. It doesn't help to be seen. And certainly doesn't help to be older and doesn't help to be shorter. So it will be an issue.
Does the type of player he is actually help him, though, go in the first round?
What do you mean?
He's a shooter. Like, he is a point guard that shoots first. And
too
that's,
small.
Hey, he could be. But Darius Garland is – they're talking about Darius Garland. Garland's what, 6'2"? He's going to be a fourth overall pick, it looks like, potentially.
Bol Bol. Will he be drafted in the top 15? No, minus 260.
I saw what New Orleans is all in on him. So if they're trying to trade down, how far do they end up trading down? Because it looked like they were at least thinking about it. So how far do they go? And somebody else might jump up there. I'd have to think he goes fairly high, but that's about the right area.
Well, the mock draft that I submitted for work, I had him going 20 to Boston. So
look at you.
Oh, so definitely under.
NBA draft expert, John Von Tobel. NBA draft betting expert, John Von Tobel. Last one, the bad news. It looks like we have to wait another year for anyone in the States to book the biggest and best betting event of the year.
Hot dog contest?
Hot dog contest denied. We can't even sniff it here, which is ridiculous, but yeah. Denied in New Jersey, where I think it was DraftKings pretty much promised it was going to happen, and you cannot bet in the States still.
Sad.
What's the worry there?
Well, I mean, they don't make anything.
That's all they can fix it.
Is it so you can see Chestnut kind of jaking at the end?
Sure. I mean,
nefarious play.
Yeah, what? If like the grand prize is $10,000, right?
Well, I don't know if there was worries with 20,000. Like, to me, there's been you're a big rules guy, and we're big on the rules in the eating contest. I mean, there are times where you know, the count's all off. You know, the people are doing extreme chipmunking. It's out of control.
It doesn't seem very official, and there always
I get
does
no
seem
reaction
be,
on the extreme chipmunking.
There does seem to be, no because I take this too seriously. There does seem to. I mean, everybody knows there's the chipmunking that goes uncalled, and it's just completely ridiculous.
Tell people what chipmunking is, please.
It's when you just right at the end, you just jam all the food in your mouth so that your cheeks all puff out, and then you're still kind of chewing.
You're like Louis Armstrong with the trumpet.
Yeah. So I mean, yeah, there does seem to be some issues with how everything is tracked and regulated. I don't blame them for not putting it up, but it is a fantastic event.
Don't you just make the limits really small?
Sure.
Like, I feel like there's something fishy going on if somebody walks up and says, give me $10,000 on Chestnut under 69 and a half dogs.
I don't think that's fishy at all. It's I mean, it's like the Super Bowl.